Hi, I'm Jeff Walters, and welcome to The Minutes. And thanks for listening today. It's great to have you along on The Minutes for the week of January the 13th, 2025. This is a City of Thunder Bay podcast. The Minutes takes a look at what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week. You can find The Minutes wherever you get your podcasts, including our YouTube channel and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. And a special welcome to viewers on CKPR-TV this week. We are now airing weekly on Thunder Bay Television. On this episode, I'll have a rundown of what happened at Thunder Bay City Council this past week, as well an interview with Danielle Tom, the city's climate action specialist. The Boulevard Garden and Maintenance Bylaw was back at Council on Monday night, and we'll hear what happened. But first, when it comes to the budget, the city is looking to hear from you. There is an open house coming up on Wednesday, January the 22nd at the Italian Cultural Center. It starts at 6:30 p.m. This is your chance to speak with city administration and ask any questions that you have about the city budget. The budget will be released to the public on Friday, January the 17th. If you want to learn more about the budget in Thunder Bay, visit our website at thunderbay.ca/budget. Council heard some information on how the first year of the Minutes, that's the program that you're listening to right now, was received in the city. The presentation was done by Stacey Levinen, the Supervisor of Corporate Communications, and myself, Jeff Walters. The presentation detailed where you could find the podcast, its reception from the public and the media, how it's used by staff, and how it improves communication with the public. The podcast has already received recognition from the Information and Privacy Office of Ontario, along with the overall metrics for the first year were presented to Council. The Minutes has been viewed or listened to thousands of times over the past year, and The Minutes is now available on Thunder Bay Television on a weekly basis. Of course, you can also find The Minutes on our YouTube channel, CKSI Radio, Rogers and T-Baytel TV, social media feeds, and our website, thunderbay.ca/theminutes, along with wherever you get your podcasts. Council heard a deputation on Monday night from Shane Judge, who wants Council to look into the business case of developing a municipal services corporation. The services corporation, Judge says, would consolidate all of the back office and administrative services of the city itself, along with those of the Thunder Bay Police Service, Synergy North, T-Baytel, and the Thunder Bay District Social Services Board. Judge says that this new corporation would save, in his words, significant amounts of money for all of the entities involved. He says it could also make money for the city itself, as it could expand and then handle operations like payroll, revenue, IT, risk management, and other back-office services to public entities across Northern Ontario and Manitoba. There is no Council decision on this matter, as Judge was presenting the information to Council. There were some questions on the feasibility of making these changes, along with the complexity of creating a municipal services corporation, such as different legislation covers different government bodies. City Council voted to have a closed session meeting on January the 27th. It has to do with receiving information from the city solicitor and for the purposes of training. Closed session resolutions are required by legislation when Council needs to meet behind closed doors for specific reasons. City Council also voted on an item that was received in closed session. It has to do with a bargaining mandate with Superior North EMS. Administration received approval from Council to move forward with a specific direction. This matter went from closed session to Committee of the Whole and through to City Council in one night. City Council heard how changes have been made to the draft Boulevard Garden and Maintenance Bylaw, as requested by Council in December. At the December 16th meeting, Council wanted administration to make a few changes to the proposed document, including allowing Boulevard Gardens to have shrubs, excluding planter boxes from height restrictions, further restricting pesticides, herbicides, and rodenticides, and allowing gardeners to use temporary plant support structures like tomato cages within the height restrictions. Administration says it worked with the Accessibility Advisory Committee and the Built Environment Working Group to determine the best way to create a bylaw that addresses the concepts that Council wanted included in the bylaw while not impacting people with disabilities. This included reworking the bylaw and getting feedback from the impacted groups. The current version of the bylaw did not receive any opposition. However, administration says members of the Accessibility Advisory Committee and the Built Environment Working Group reinforced the importance of clear sightlines and that depending on how plants are placed in the boulevard area, that impacts the movement of sound. This would have an impact on how people with visual and hearing impairments move through and around the space. All of the items mentioned above regarding shrubs, planter box heights, pesticide restrictions, and allowing temporary plant support structures like a tomato cage are now part of the bylaw. The bylaw will be presented to City Council at the end of February. Administration will also have some community consultation on the Boulevard Garden bylaw in early 2027. And finally, Council heard how the Municipal Accountability Act was presented by the province late last year and how it's now looking for feedback, specifically from municipal councils. The province says the goal of the act is to strengthen municipal governance and accountability. The new bill would amend the City of Toronto Act and the Municipal Act, which is the provincial legislation that governs municipalities across Ontario, including Thunder Bay. The new act would create a standardized municipal code of conduct across the province, as well as an integrity commissioner framework. In 2021, the province consulted with municipalities to strengthen municipal codes of conduct, as there were several high-profile workplace violence incidents. The city's Intergovernmental Affairs Committee, at its January meeting, said there would be no need for advocacy until more information is available after public consultations are complete. The committee noted that all members of municipal councils will be equally impacted by this change, and they should have their own opportunity to contribute their views. The Office of the City Clerk notes that if passed, the bill would shift from municipally established codes of conduct to a provincial framework. That means that municipally created codes of conduct would be repealed, and then a prescribed code of conduct for councillors and mayors, rather, would then require them to comply with the code of conduct, mandate integrity commissioners to provide code of conduct training or education, and also require councillors or mayors to take any new mandated training. One of the major changes is how violations to the code of conduct are addressed. Currently, if a violation is found, the integrity commissioner can recommend a penalty for the councillor or mayor. There's a limit of a suspension of pay for up to 90 days in the current legislation. Going forward, the new bill would create a way to remove and disqualify a councillor from office or from running for office in the future for a specified period of time. This is a new tool that is currently not available. Removal or disqualification is available for members who commit serious code of conduct violations. If Bill 241 is passed and enacted, after the completion of an investigation, the Municipal Integrity Commissioner would have the ability to recommend to the Integrity Commissioner of Ontario that a member of council be removed from office. To be removed, the following would need to take place. The mayor or councillor would have to have violated the code of conduct with a serious offence which has resulted in harm to the safety, health, and well-being of people, and that the existing penalties are not sufficient to address the issue or make sure that it isn't repeated. How the new process would work is the Integrity Commissioner of Ontario may consider whether the issue negatively impacts public confidence in the ability of either the member to do their job or for council to fulfill its role. If the Integrity Commissioner of Ontario is satisfied that the criteria for removal and disqualification have been met, they can provide a recommendation to the Municipal Council. If the Integrity Commissioner of Ontario recommends that a member be removed or disqualified, the matter must be presented to all members of council who are legally entitled to vote. Essentially, that's those who do not have a conflict of interest. If the council votes unanimously in favor of the recommendation, the member is removed from their seat, the seat is declared vacant, and the member is disqualified from being a member of council or any local board of the municipality for 4 years. However, to remove a member of council, there must be a unanimous vote. The Clerk's Office notes that this puts pressure on council, and it could impact how well they work together as well. Other than the most serious cases, sanctions and penalties remain limited under the proposed bill. And that's a wrap as to what happened at council this week. For more information on anything that happens at council, please visit our website, thunderbay.ca/council. Starting this spring, the plan is to allow gardeners across Thunder Bay to dig into their boulevards and plant. City Council heard on Monday about revisions to the proposed Boulevard Garden and Maintenance Bylaw. It's the latest in a series of drafts for the proposed bylaw, and this version incorporates some changes that were requested by the public and by City Council. Danielle Tom is the City's Climate Action Specialist, and she was at Council on Monday night. Danielle, thanks for coming into the Minute Studio today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad that you could make it in today. So this is the third time you've been at Council. Why were you at Council a third time for this?
All right. So the third time was the charm. I'm hoping for this.
That's good.
We came back with a couple amendments to the bylaw based on some more public feedback that we had at our meeting on December 16th and just came back to kind of present that and field any further questions that council had of us.
So walk me back in time. You did this started off as a first report. So I guess maybe tell me what happened as a first report and what you gave council at that point.
Alrighty. So as a first report, I gave council kind of a broad overview of what we've been working on in the bylaw. So moving back even before the first report, in 2021, there's a deputation made to city council that September saying, hey, we're really interested in these boulevard gardens, these boulevard gardening movements that are happening through the country. Can we move forward with this? Council said yes. And then in 2022, in the winter, a working group was formed of internal folks that had a stake in the Boulevard area. As I've said before, and I feel like I'll say again and again and again, there's a lot of moving pieces in the Boulevard. So that group included people from roads, people from waste management, people from water and sewer, bylaw folks, legal, all that sort of stuff. People like realty and development services and stuff like that all came together and said, okay, let's take a crack at this. Then over the next 3 or so years, that was chipped away at until 2024 when my particular position came into the picture and started doing public engagement. Based on a bit of public engagement and the expertise of that internal working group, we came with a first report in September, specifically on September 23rd, 2024, to say, hey, this is what we've been working on for the last 3 years. Let me give you this. And then that started another period of engagement after that. So my report back that I did in December was based on the feedback that we had gathered through surveys and through public feedback events, and then also through many, many phone calls that I fielded and emails and things like that, compiled all of that into amendments that we made to that original bylaw that we presented as the first report. That was actually quite shockingly different. Changed a lot of language, allowed more things and stuff, increased height limits, all the bing bang shaboodle. And then
that's a technical term, right?
100%. Okay. We're only working in technical terms here, Jeff. And then came back with more suggestions from council. On that December 16th meeting, there was a ton of deputations. There's 12 altogether, 9 in person. It was quite the long night for everyone in attendance, but very fruitful in the way that these folks that I've been communicating with were able to communicate with the broader public and kind of have their point of view known. Taking those considerations in, I've gone back, I've talked to the Accessibility Advisory Committee about some of these considerations and whatnot, and then last night at council, I went back this Monday, so that's January 13th, to present those findings and say, hey, these are the changes that we can make comfortably. Council accepted those changes, and then we're on to the next.
And then you're on to ratification, which was the next step.
Yes. And then we'll move on again to February 24th, where the bylaw will be officially presented to council, and they can accept that, and then we can start enforcing it.
Before we get to, a bit more to the end, maybe you can talk about some of the changes that you've made from that December meeting to where we are now.
Absolutely. So there were 4 big requests that came out of that December council meeting. One was to raise height limits within planter boxes. One was to allow shrubs. One was to further restrict pesticides, herbicides, rodenticides, all the rest. And then finally was to allow those support structures. So things like trellises, tomato cages, anything that you're going to use to prop up a floppy plant. So where we've moved from there, we are increasing the height limit, or we have increased the height limit to 1.6 meters under some very specific situations. So the original ask from council was to allow those only in planter boxes. We decided as an internal group that we couldn't really differentiate 1.6 meters is 1.6 meters is 1.6 meters. So the plants that are going to that 1.6 meters height are going to have to follow what we're calling an alternating planting prescription. So those will be kind of compact 60 centimeter by 60 centimeter blocks of 1.6 meters, then your next 60 centimeter by 60 centimeter block has to be under 1,000 millimeters or one meter.
Okay.
So that's going to alternate. The same sort of thing is going to happen with shrubs, except for some different height restrictions. We're going to have the shrubs evenly spaced. You will be able to have them on the boulevard under specific situations. And then with our fertilizers, pesticides, all the rest, any sort of chemical in the boulevard, we're banning specifically synthetics. So that the idea behind this is that any sort of industrially produced kind of cure-all blanket, I'm going to kill everything in my yard, we're not going to allow that in public spaces. We already don't allow that in our parks. Our parks folks are not able to use that. So we are moving forward with allowing, I want to say, more natural remedies. So looking at being able to include things like H compost safely in your front garden, pest management with things like vinegar or more household, less potent stuff. And then last but not least is those support structures. Anything pointy, we're going to keep to a garden box. We're just for safety reasons. We don't want people to fall at a greater distance and increase the risk of really nasty puncture wounds, really. But cages and baskets, so those things that are commonly used for like maybe some sorts of herbaceous flower things, but mostly tomatoes, we're going to allow everywhere except for setback areas.
Okay. So actually a number of changes even since December, really.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of discussion about this bylaw before it even got to council. As you said, 12 deputations, that's, you know, maybe not a record, but probably pretty close. What were you hearing from, what are you hearing now from the groups who had an interest in this bylaw?
Folks are generally happy and relieved that things are going through. I think we're feeling pretty much the same way. A lot of folks have worked really hard on this, and it's gotten to a point where we haven't gotten to yes on everything, because it's impossible to get to yes on everything. There's always an ability to drill down more. But those folks are excited, and they're excited to move forward with me on some public education to do with this as well. A lot of these people have a lot of knowledge, is what I've learned through this whole situation. And I'm excited to kind of move forward with this project and actually see it come to life.
It's a pretty encompassing bylaw. There's a lot of detail in it.
It is. We wanted to make it first and foremost safe for everyone, and then enforceable from a legal point of view.
I was also going to say, so I'll ask you about the education campaign in just a moment. But on an overall kind of basis, why is this an important bylaw for Thunder Bay?
So we're really picking up on a bylaw for biodiversity wave that's happening across the country and across really a lot of the world that has had bylaws in the past. So we're thinking a lot of colonial structures that were made to support like a turf grass lawn. So a very clean, manicured, whatever, whatnot. I think especially since the pandemic, there's been an outpouring of people realizing that gardening and getting outside, even in that small space that you have in the city, really helps your mental health and so much and so forth going forward. And not to mention mitigating greenhouse gas, like offsetting anything that your house may be putting off, not anything, but your piece, and then helping out with flood and drought resistance. I know in Thunder Bay in the last few years, we've had some massive floods within the last 10, 15 years, and some incredible drought situations, which have people worried. And this kind of just gives people an avenue to work on that.
A big piece of this bylaw, as you mentioned, is an education campaign that's to be coming up this spring. So can you tell me a bit about that and what you've got planned?
So this has been everything that I've been dreaming of. When I go home from thinking about the bylaw, I start thinking about the education campaign. I really want a kind of three-pronged approach. Firstly, I want everything to live on the website somewhere. We haven't quite figured out if that's going to be under bylaw or under my stuff with the Earth Care Advisory Committee and the Earth Care main page there. So there's going to be a whole bunch of information online there. I also want some sort of video because I know some people don't necessarily learn as well from reading as they do from just listening and some visuals. And then I also want some print copy, so some sort of brochure to go along with that to hand out.
And what sort of education do you think people need? Like, you know, is it just the do's and don'ts, or is it some recommendations? What are you kind of envisioning there?
So first and foremost, do's and don'ts for sure, because this bylaw is meaty. As we've talked about before, there's a lot of numbers and things like that. So I really want to get some diagrams in there to show people that under these restrictions, you can still make something beautiful and you can still make this work for your garden. And then I also really want to pinpoint some of the environmental factors that could make or break this being good for like our watersheds and stuff like that. So things on, even though we ban synthetic fertilizers and pesticides, the proper use for things really makes a difference. And so I just want to make sure to get that out there. And I also want to leverage some awesome supports that people like the LRCA and stuff have put out on how to plant native plants and keep pollinators happy here.
Yeah, and that all makes a difference, right, for biodiversity.
100%.
So I know that we still have to get through some final approvals kind of thing. We have to have, you know, minutes ratified and the bylaw itself passed as well. But when can people start to garden on their boulevards? It's snowy out there right now, so I don't think anyone's going to be digging for a few weeks.
So if all goes to plan, after February 24th, it will no longer be illegal to have a boulevard garden. That being said, we are still working on that internal declaration and acknowledgement process, which is actually, along with the education campaign, kind of my main focus right now. So we are working with an internal group of folks from our corporate information and technology group to get that up and running. Along with education, our aim is for the end of March to be able to have this all ready to go so you can register your garden and plan your garden and plant your garden in the spring.
Yeah, it'll be before planting season.
Before planting, before May, I'm hoping.
Before May, all right. Danielle, I really appreciate you coming in today. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
That is Danielle Thom. She is the city's climate action specialist, and she joined me here in the Minutes studio. And a big thanks for listening to the Minutes this week. Of course, if you want more information about City Council, agendas, or minutes, visit thunderbay.ca/council. If you want to listen to past episodes or maybe provide some feedback, visit thunderbay.ca/theminutes. You can also find the Minutes wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, you can find us on YouTube and on our website as well. It's thunderbay.ca/theminutes. If you want to keep your finger on the pulse of what's happening at City Hall, just hit that subscribe button. I'm Jeff Walters. Thanks for listening this week. Chat again next week. Make it a great day.